Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right, this is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
What is up, guys? Episode 206 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
Man, you're Steve's right here gone. In beautiful Sherrard, Illinois. Do we try and do it? It ain't gonna sound
I'm not
going
to try. It's not the same. Steve is sick.
Yep.
I don't know if he's ever... We've done one podcast without Steve, and that's when I actually did the one-on-one with Clint Casper.
And you know he's really sick when he's not here, because usually when he's not feeling too good, he's here, but...
Yeah, he just drinks like three Busch Lights, and everything's fine, yep. And he pulls it together. But he said, oh, I'm sick. I went home from work today, and I think what I have is really contagious, and I don't want to bring it in and get everyone sick before the Iowa Deer Classic.
Stay home, Steve.
So me and Eric said, oh, screw you then.
We'll just do it ourselves.
Nothing crazy will be said on this podcast. I've been known to say some dumb shit. But
maybe no wrestling references, though.
Yeah, maybe we should do one in his honor. There's no veteran shout-out because he's the one that has all that information.
I know, we should get one for
all
him.
The veteran shout-outs get emailed directly to Steve. So speaking of that, right off the bat, go to workingclassbowhunter.com and the contact form. There's a spot to submit a veteran for a shout-out. You just fill out the form there, submit that. Also, while we're on workingclassbowhunter.com, check out our store. We got hats, shirts. We're going to come in with some new color hat options for you.
Hoodies. Stocking caps. I know it's kind of season's going out, but they're still there.
Stickers. All the goodies. Really, that's about it. Real quick, just want to thank our sponsors and supporters of our show. First of all, thanks to everyone listening. We got to thank Elite Archery. The new ritual is absolutely absurd in a good way. We've been getting a lot of messages from listeners that have shot them for the first time, or people that have bought them and are bringing them home and are addicted to them, which
they're absolutely in love with them.
Smooth as butter. They are awesome.
Butter.
HHA Sports. We talk about Single Pin Nation all the time. Rattler Grips, Mana Coolers, Ethics Archery, all new to the show for 2018.
Sin Crusher.
Sin Crusher's been with us for a while now, and
Scent Crusher saves our asses, and I think it's going to continue to save our asses, especially, you know, even outside of hunting, you know. In a home use situation, it can help.
You can literally use it every day, whether it's hunting season or not.
Yep. The Room Clean is quickly becoming one of my favorite products from Scent Crusher because I use it. I use that every day, even out of the season. You know, like, you're not as worried about certain scents and stuff like that when you're not going into a stand. I mean, you still want to be kind of think about it. Don't go in with cologne while you're shed hunting. But it's the bag's awesome. You know, I still use the bag, throw my clothes in. The closet is awesome. But check out Scent Crusher. Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing. He's still cutting up deer. 1,016 deer?
16, yeah, I think so.
For the year is what Scott and the whole Smith family is doing, which is absolutely insane. So thanks to them. They've basically supported us from pretty much the very beginning.
Yep.
So thanks to all of them. And really, I think that's all we need to do. We can cut into this show. This podcast is with Steve from Iowa Shows. We've kind of had slight contact with Steve for the last couple of years. We podcasted at the Iowa Deer Classic, and that's always a really good show. I was going to say it's a small show, but it's not at all.
It's not. It's a pretty big show. I mean, there's a lot of people that go through that show.
It's actually a massive show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's like it's not a 10-day show like the one out in Pennsylvania or whatever, but it's a 3-day show in Des Moines, Iowa. And there's a ton of people that go through there. Yep. We have a blast there every year. We make new friends there every year. So that's this coming weekend. If you're in podcast land, you might be listening to this when it's over. If you didn't make the show, put it on your calendar for the following year. Always like the first weekend in March or so.
If you're going to be there, shoot us a message. We'll meet up.
Absolutely.
We'd like to meet everyone. So.
Yep, or you'll see our dumbasses walking around with a bunch of working class bow hunter gear. Yeah. So, well, let's just get to the show, talk to Steve about what they do there and how it's all set up. And everyone that listens is like, it's weird that our Steve isn't here. We replaced him with a different Steve for the show.
That's exactly what we did. We just planned it out right.
It worked out. So hope you guys enjoy. Thanks. All right, on the podcast now is Steve Finnegan with Iowa Shows. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, happy to be here. I love to talk about the Iowa Deer Classic.
Yeah, so we've been going to the Iowa Classic for a couple years now, podcasting in our own little room, which has been a blast. We've met a lot of great people, recorded a lot of fun episodes.
I think I've been going the last 10 years, I think.
Oh, yeah, because you know, Eric's from Iowa. Yep. I'm from Illinois. I bet you I've gone the last probably 5 or 6 years, and it's always been a great time. It gets bigger and bigger every year. So tell us, like, what you do for Iowa Shows and like what Iowa Shows is, and then cut right into the classic.
Well, we produce consumer shows throughout the state of Iowa. We used to do the Kansas Monster Buck Classic, but we actually dropped that one. So anyway, we do a couple of sports shows. We do a boat, RV, and vacation show. Those are done at the Uni Dome up in Cedar Falls. And in fact, the week after we get back from Deer Classic, the next week is the sports show in Cedar Falls.
Oh, cool.
We also do a sports show in Cedar Rapids, and then we do a couple of home shows: one in Waterloo and one in Mason City. In fact, we're on a run right now with 5 weeks in a row of doing shows. So
sounds busy.
It's been quite a run for us here. So yeah. But the biggest and the best is the Iowa Deer Classic down in Des Moines, of course. It's known as the greatest whitetail show on earth, and it truly is. We've been involved in the show. Actually, it's kind of an interesting history. Back in the early 90s, the fellow that was in charge of Iowa Show Productions and started it actually started the Iowa Deer Classic as part of the Eastern Iowa Sports Show that was held up in Waterloo at that point in time. He moved it down to Altoona and then, quite frankly, could not get a sizable venue and good dates, and so kind of dropped it. And then some guys from Wisconsin picked it up, and they ran with it quite a while, and then it kind of came full circle. And Iowa Show Productions bought the show then, and I'm terrible on dates. We picked it up, must be about eight or nine years ago, and that's when I had actually retired and came on board with Iowa Shows. So I kind of came full circle because I was actually involved in the very first one up there in Waterloo because the owner of Iowa Show Productions was one of my conservation board members at the time. So
what year did that start?
Kind of neat that way. What? Well, that would have been about 1990 when it really, really first got started.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering that. So yeah. it's came a long way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it used to be down in the Polk County Convention Center. It was down there for many years, and then it moved to the Iowa Event Center. And like I say, we were able to take it over again, and we grew at 25% in the first year that we took it over.
Wow.
And so, and it's grown ever since. In fact, right now, I wish I had more space because I've got exhibitors that come from all over the world, frankly.
That's what I was going to say.
It
seems like
our reputation is so good.
Right. It seems like every year it's like, man, there's more people here. It's bigger and bigger. And I was wondering.
Yeah, not just exhibitors, but the people that come through there. It's amazing to see how many people actually walk through the show.
Oh, yeah. And we've got people that actually come and stay in the hotels and do all 3 days of the show because, you know, there's so much going on. And if you really want to see all the big bucks, see them coming in all through the whole weekend there. You know, there's plenty of things to do and take in, and you can participate. We've got really good seminars lined up, and they're, you know, different lineup every day. So
yeah, our good friend Larry McCoy is doing a seminar this coming weekend. So,
Yeah. He's on the seminar docket there. He's doing a couple of them, and so yeah. Speaking of seminars, you want me to run down them quick a little bit, maybe, or at least hit the highlights?
Yeah, you might as well, because that's where I was going to go anyway, so it's perfect.
Were you? Okay, well, we're on the same wavelength. Well, our headliner this year is Melissa Bachman, and if people haven't ever been around Melissa, she is the real deal. Let me tell you, that gal is out in the woods someplace. I think she told me one time, like 300 days a year.
I can believe that for sure.
And, she started filming her own hunts and all that, and then finally got a break, and she does Winchester Passion TV now.
Yep. We've had her on the podcast several times.
Oh, have you? Yeah. Yep. So anyway, we're real happy to have Melissa back with us again. So she's doing seminars all 3 days. We've got some of Iowa's own here, Sam Calara with Mrs. Dopey. All-American Outdoors down around the Mount Pleasant area. He's got an archery shop down there. Sam's got a captive herd of deer and elk there, and so he's learned a lot about deer, elk, and how they communicate and all those kind of things. So he's doing seminars. We do a turkey calling contest on Sunday, and the fellow that's responsible for that is Curtis Getch. He's going to be doing a seminar on advanced turkey calling. We're doing some predator calling. Steve Kreiner's coming for that. Back to our Iowa folks, Bill Winke, Midwest Whitetails, is doing seminars all 3 days for us. And Bill's always a hit. He packs the room about as much as anybody.
Oh, yeah. Guy's a genius.
I'm sure there's I'm sure there's some people out there thinking shed hunting these days. Roger Sigler is going to be there with his shed dogs and talking about training shed dogs. I know more and more you hear people talking about that.
Yep. I think we're going to try and podcast with him at the show while we're there.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, Larry's with Elite Archery and the outdoor group there, and so he's involved with lots of things. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Lindsay's are going to be there. They do Lindsay Way TV. Jeff Frederick, he's a turkey call man. He's going to do a seminar. Steve Kreiner is going to be doing predators. I don't know whether I mentioned that one or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've got a couple guys from I think they're Team Outdoors or Team Backcountry. Mm-hmm. They're going to do some elk hunting seminars as well as preparing your gear and what you need to take for a Western hunt. I know a lot of our people are interested in headed west. I myself love to hunt out west. We've got biologists with Bowhunter Magazine, CJ Winans, going to be doing seminars for a couple days. So, so yeah, there's a whole thing. We've got the DNR talking about CWD. That's a real hot item these days that we all need to be concerned about. You know, it's here in Iowa, and It seems like almost every day I read about something happening in some other state. So we're going to have to start listening and dealing with that, as well as we're going to have a couple things on food plots too. So,
well, maybe that's something we can do with the
standing seminar lineup.
Oh yeah, it sounds like you got all the bases covered there, and that's something we might try to do, is maybe catch one of the DNR officers and talk about CWD on a podcast episode,
or a biologist or something. Yep. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. That's something we get requested by our listeners a lot, is chronic wasting disease, and we've always wanted to get like a legitimate biologist to just certain questions we don't know. That'd be fun to just bounce off them, to, you know, just for good conversation.
Well, Terry Hainfield's the main man for that. He's doing a seminar on Sunday, so he'll be around. And yeah, there's a lot of ins and outs on that. You know, there's some issues involved with the captive deer, as well as the wild deer and that whole nine yards. And it's, you know, the seminar's entitled CWD in Iowa, Why Should You Care? You should care, and he's here to tell you about it. So,
very cool. So something for everyone in the seminar area. But if someone's there and they're like, I don't want to just check out the show. I mean, what other things are there? I mean, we know, obviously, because we've been. But say someone's never been there, what other things they got to look forward to?
Well, of course, the hallmark is the big buck contest, where people bring in the deer they've harvested in the last couple of years and get them officially measured. We've got about 35 of the best measurers on our crew I think you could ever assemble. These guys have been with us for many years. In fact, it's like old home week with those guys. I mean, they wouldn't miss it for the world to come down and put their hands on some of these great Iowa whitetails and put a tape to them and measure them. And so, you know, that's the best way there is to get them officially measured. And then we have a whole lot of different categories that we give out awards for, the biggest in each category, and, you know, the top five in archery and firearms. And then we get into muzzle loaders and crossbows, and the ladies, they get to enter theirs in archery or firearms. We've got youth categories. We've got a historical category, where you can bring in deer that were harvested beyond that. And we just kind of opened that up for, what's known as deadheads. More and more people are finding dead deer, and they weren't harvested, but they were found, and they need to be recognized. And so, well, I know we've got some pretty nice deadheads coming in, as well as some locked deer. That's always a little bit of interest, those nice locked deer where, you know.
And you guys do shed antlers, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the North American Shed Hunters Club is there. You can bring in your shed antlers and get them measured, as well as there's a display. And that's not just limited to Iowa. I mean, they've got deer, they've got mule deer, they've got moose, they've got all kinds of different shed antlers involved in the shed antler contest and display there. So that's kind of cool to have those guys. Those guys are out of Wisconsin, and good crew there too that measures those up. So
very cool.
And yep. Of course, we've got to talk about archery. You know, archery is a big part of what's going on there. It's actually a case where you can bring your bow and practice and compete. We do a 300 archery tournament as part of it, and that's shooting bullseye targets. And we've been taking registrations for that now for quite a while. And there's still some lane times yet that people could come and bring their bow and shoot as part of that. They actually shoot 30 arrows at bullseye targets, and we did add some more categories this year for the kids involved in NASP, or the National Archery in Schools program. So we're gonna have a little competition with those kids. We've got a kids archery range, so just about anybody that wants to try a bow, it's not just for kids, but we call it the kids archery range. Mm-hmm. They can grab a bow and give it a try, as well as we've got a 3D pop-up shoot, which is more of a hunting simulated shoot, where there's three-dimensional animal targets that pop up, and you got just a couple moments to shoot at them, and then they go back down, and you never know which one's coming next. And so
that would be cool.
That's pretty cool, and it's fun to just sit and watch that, you know, watch them pop up. And
do you know about how many how many shooters you guys have each year?
Well, the 300 shoot runs somewhere around 300 shooters through that, and the pop-up shoot, I would say there's 100, 150 probably.
How many, what about total for the whole show? I don't know if you have those numbers on you. Like, what's the total number of people that will come to the show in a weekend, in a three-day
weekend? Well, we estimate 23,000 to 25,000.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, and it's, in fact, on Saturday, it is so packed that it's even tough to move around on the show floor. But,
is that number something that you see that gets bigger every year? Because people say that the hunters' numbers is declining. I don't always see it that way, but that's what the statistics show. Do you feel that? Is it more people every year come to the show, or are you seeing it kind of fluctuate with how many people are hunting?
Oh, I'd say it. I don't think it's fluctuating with the number of people that are hunting. You know, the deer numbers harvest has been down a little bit, and so we saw numbers drop or at least stay pretty much the same the last couple of years. And one of the things that we used to have the NAS state competition as part of the show, and this is one of those things where success maybe isn't as good for us sometimes, but they had so many kids that they actually outgrew the facility that we had available for them, and so the NAS program found it necessary to move away from the Deer Classic. And so we actually had some numbers go down on that, because we used to have the kids and their families show up to the show too, and so that hurt us a little bit. They're actually going to be holding their competition at the state fairgrounds the weekend following the Deer Classic this year. So so you know, there's that aspect. But in general, I mean, I travel around the country quite often, and I mention that I'm with the Iowa Deer Classic, and boy, people's eyes just light up. And of course, the first thing they say to me is, "How can you get me a tag?" You know,
that's what everyone says when you're from Iowa.
Those kind of things. That's right. I mean, our reputation is outstanding out there, and So yeah, that's kind of a cool aspect of things.
Well, it seems like in the last few years. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just got to mention another thing. When you're back in the big buck contest area, something that was started by the previous people that had the Deer Classic was the All Iowa Hall of Fame. And anybody that's ever entered a deer that meets the Boone and Crockett minimum requirements for their all-time book. So that's the biggest of the biggest there that qualify for the Boone and Crockett all-time. We maintain a database and keep all those people in that database, and they all get a postcard every year inviting them to bring their deer back so everybody can enjoy them.
Oh, that's cool.
That is awesome.
We give them a few perks for doing that, and so we get somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 100 all Boone and Crockett deer in our Iowa Hall of Fame.
Pure giants.
And that's a tremendous thing to see. I mean, the wall's 100 feet long, and it is solid packed with giant deer heads. And so just seeing that and be able to, you know, all the different formations of antlers and how massive those things can get, that's always pretty cool.
It's unbelievable.
It can either make you feel really good, or depending on your season, it makes you feel really bad. You're like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't see anything this big.
Yeah, well, and that's why it's hunting, you know. Yep. I mean, I've been chasing whitetails for 50 years, and quite frankly, if it was easy out to go out and do that, I probably would have quit a long time ago.
Yeah, that's right.
That is true.
It's always different every time you go sit in a tree, you know. So
right. Yep. Yeah. Do you get to enjoy the show much when it's going on, or do you feel like you're so busy during the show that you don't get to see any of it?
To be honest with you, I'm pretty busy. There's, you know, when you look at all the moving parts of a show like that, when you got 300 exhibitors and all these things, and of course, you know, you can't anticipate all the things. And so, no, I'm kind of the chief firefighter. I got to put out all the fires that come up. And so, no, to be honest with you, I truly enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, there's definitely an unbelievable amount of work involved. We've just spent the last 2 days packing our trailer and getting everything organized to head down there. We'll head down tomorrow morning. We'll be down there about 9 o'clock, and we'll start setting things up. And exhibitors actually start moving in Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And
yeah,
I
always wondered about that, because you go there and it's. You see everyone, like, some booths that people have are like really elaborate and big and well put together. And you get there, you know, if you say you get there Saturday, it's just, you don't really think about the setup. It's just there. And then you leave and then it's gone. And then you come back next year and there it is again. But the setup, even, it's got to be insane. So that's kind of neat to see they start showing up on Wednesday to set up for the weekend.
Well, you know, the amazing part of it is it takes 2.5 days for us to move everything and get it all set up. And show ends at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and by 8 o'clock, it's pretty well cleared out.
That's crazy, ain't it?
That's impressive.
Yep.
Is that something you guys do, like your guys' setup and layout? Is that from year to year? You're like, okay, we've done this before. We're going to set it up the same way. Or is it something where you have to kind of rethink something every year? You know what I mean?
Oh, it's always, you know, one thing that's important for people to understand is those exhibitors are in there. They pick us. We don't pick them. It's like we don't go out and say you need to be in the show and that. They call us and say we want to be in the show. Mm-hmm. And so it varies every year. I get a certain amount of turnover, but then again, I've got our regulars, and you know they're the same spaces in some senses. But it's a giant puzzle I deal with every day, constantly changing. And in fact, I've just had to deal with some cancellations here recently. You know, I mean, we've had people with health issues, we've had people with product issues, things like that. And so, yeah, it's just constantly changing as we go into the show. And I'm sure I'll get some calls tomorrow that I'll have to figure out how to deal with.
It's one of those shows that goes on. Yeah, that's right. It's one thing in the last few years we've noticed, especially, is like we go to the ATA every year. Like this year, we podcasted at the ATA show. And so we've noticed that with the big shows, like the Turkey Show in Nashville, the big show in Pennsylvania, ATA, and now the Iowa Classic is in the mix of those big shows of shows you have to hit as a hunter. And so that seems like it's picking up more and more and more. So it's just like one of the shows to go to. And we've been talking about it for a couple months now. You know, we're going to be at the Iowa Classic in Des Moines podcasting. Like if you are in the area,
look us up.
Yeah, look us up, and we can record a quick podcast or whatever. You know, we're there to have fun and have a good time.
Well, sure, yeah, and just the fact that you guys are now involved, that's another cool aspect. And, of course, there's been lots of things on social media lately. It's amazing what I see there. In fact, there was a thing today on who's coming, and it wasn't very long before, yep. I saw all kinds of comments come back and that, so.
Yeah, I mean, we know a couple guys from way out east that are driving in just for the show.
Flying in. There's people from all over coming.
Yep. Well, I mean, try to book a hotel room for that weekend in that area. It's near impossible. We got lucky booked our hotel room early. So just a piece of advice, if you're not coming to the show this year, guys, you know, the next year, if you plan on staying, book your hotel a couple months in advance because those things book up really quick.
Fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing we deal with is people that don't do that. And then we have to try and help them out a little bit, too. And I think we block rooms in about 7 or 8 motels now. Good news is next year there's a new motel going to be open. They're building a new one right next to the Iowa Event Center.
Ooh.
But it's not going to be ready this year. So that's going to be cool.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll plan on that. We make an event out of it. We kind of have our schedule. You know, we get there, you know, being working class bow hunter, we don't get there till Friday night. So Saturday we get there, set up our little podcast room, meet up with you, set up our podcast room, get out, enjoy the show, record some podcasts, and then get to go hang out with all our friends. Nowadays, especially, you know, the more people we meet through our show, everyone meets at the Classic. It's a destination, and it's not only just a really fun show, you know, seminars to big deer, to shed antlers, to new products, all that stuff. It's afterwards getting to meet up with all your friends from around the country and all hanging out, and it's just such a big social event for us that we just such a damn good time there.
Yeah, I don't know how some of my exhibitors do it, because you know they've got to make eye contact and smile at people all day long, and then I know most of them hit the nightlife pretty hard.
Not
like
us.
It's old homely. Not you guys.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not us.
All right. Well,
we don't like Bush Light all that much. I mean, we only try to limit ourselves to like 30 or so a night when we're down there. You know.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yep. So
that's every trade show.
Hey, yep. Hey, I thought of a couple other things we ought to throw out there.
Yeah, go
First
ahead.
Off, you know, I mean, if anybody wants any information, iowadeerclassic.com is our website, and most everything is up to date on there now. You can get discount coupons there. We have official merchandise. You can get T-shirts custom made. They're kind of cool. We've got a new design every year for the Iowa Deer Classic 2018. So we've got our own booth that, and there's all kinds of logos and different doodads and stuff. You can customize your shirt or whatever you want, really. But so there's some of that information on the website, as well as all these other things. But the other things, I'm looking down my list here. Safari Club International. Mm-hmm. They have their Discovery trailer as part of the show. They have critters from all over the world. In fact, they tell me that they've added a 13-foot alligator to their display this year. So that'd be kind of neat. I'm sure some of the kids are going to really enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, that's the cool thing about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We've had baby bear cubs now for a number of years. That's always a big hit to come and hold baby bear cubs and get your picture taken with that. In fact, they're just right outside you guys' little room there.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Our buddy Steve that's sick, so we can rip on him a little bit here. Where the baby bear cubs are right next to it, there's usually face painting right there. And
oh, yeah, yep, yep. They've got them, too.
Steve's a big, jolly, fun guy. I don't know if you remember meeting him last year. If not, I'll make sure you meet him this year. And we were
I probably did, but it's a whirlwind for me.
I know it is. We were gonna have him get his face painted like a tiger, and then go up to Melissa Bachman just with a straight face and introduce himself.
Well, there you go. Yeah, they do a heck of a tiger, don't they?
they really do. I'm like, Steve. Yeah. We're like, come on, do it. You know, there's nobody, no kids in line at the time. So we get in line. We're getting ready to do it. I was going to, like, pay for it. We were laughing our asses off. And then we turn around, and there's a bunch of kids behind us. And I'm like, I don't have the heart to just be in front of these kids. So we didn't do it, but maybe this year we might be able to sneak in there early and get that done, because that would just be too funny.
Okay. All right. Well, yep. Good. Yeah. Well, that'll be something to remember. That'll be a memory thing then. Yeah. Yep. Hey, right in that same area, Klaus Liebreck out of Wisconsin, he's probably one of the best antler reproduction people in the country and taxidermists. And he always brings about a display that's about 50 feet long of some really magnificent critters. And, you know, when people shoot these big trophy animals, one of the downsides of this is that there's some value involved there, and there's been some theft and things like that have occurred in the whitetail industry. And we always recommend to somebody that's got a really magnificent deer that they get a reproduction made and that they maybe even consider rat holing away the original on that to not have it out. You know, there's been a couple thefts even in the state of Iowa of some really nice deer
over
the years, and that's kind of one of the negative aspects of us honoring all these big deer and that kind of thing. So but anyway, he's gonna have quite a display again, and he always mixes it up. I'm sure he's got some new ones. He's got some I know out of I'm thinking there's a big one out of Kentucky that he's got now that he's got the reproduction horns on that.
And those reproductions those reproductions look actually just like the real thing. You can't even really tell.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. You have to look really, really close to tell the difference. Like I say, he's an artist when it comes to reproducing deer antlers.
Yeah, definitely. That is always really cool, and that's kind of neat because it is right outside our podcast room, so we get to pop out there when we're taking a break between shows and check all that out, and super cool. Sure. It's pretty fascinating that they can do that and make it look exactly, like, same coloration, same everything. It's a true replica. There's nothing really noticeable about them that you can be like, oh, that's not the real antlers. Right. You can't even tell.
That's right. So, hey, a couple other things. Something we've brought back. Well, we brought both of these things back, actually. One of them is we're going to have a live auction on Sunday afternoon. We've got a group of professional auctioneers from Dream Dirt that have agreed to come in, and we've got exhibitors and others donating items that are going to be auctioned off that are of interest to hunters. And it's on Sunday afternoon, and all the benefits of that are going to go to the Iowa Firearm Safety Instructors Association.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
And so it's going to go towards teaching kids proper safety with guns and all that kind of thing, and get them on the way to a life of hunting and enjoying the outdoors like the rest of us do. So anyway, that's something that's pretty cool. In fact, out in the lobby, there'll be a bunch of tables set up out there where you can see the items, and I'm sure there's going to be some good deals to be had on such a thing. So that's Sunday afternoon at 1:00. Then the other thing that we're bringing back is Frank Addington. He's known as the Aspirin Buster. He's a trick trick shooting artist. And his claim to fame is being able to throw up an aspirin and shoot it with his bow and arrow. Plus, he shoots a whole bunch of other things. He calls it bow and arrow razzle dazzle. And Frank puts on quite a show. He's going to be all 3 days. He's down there in the seminar rooms. He's got a couple shows on Friday, and actually, he's just doing Friday and Saturday. Is when Frank's going to be around doing some razzle-dazzle with a bow and arrow.
Very cool.
It's amazing with somebody that practices like he does what they can do. So.
Right, yeah, that is
so
cool.
Yeah, so that's some of the highlights and stuff that is going on this year.
Yeah, what I like about it, you know, the most, thinking about all the things there is to do, is you can take a kid of any age and there's something there for him. Like, any kid's going to watch that trick shooting with a bow and just be amazed with it. And
oh yeah,
you know, watching people shoot their bows and trying out how to shoot and all that. So that's a, you know, like you said, that's a good way to get the younger generation involved in the outdoors and have fun. You know, they might not understand a lot of what's there, but if you can get them on a few things and that they have a blast watching or something they can do, get their face painted and see all the deer heads and all that sort of thing, is just something that's a positive for our lifestyle
and any age group too.
Right.
Well, I've got a couple of grandkids. They're 6 and 10, a boy and a girl. And I tell you what, the apple didn't fall very far from the tree there. Those two absolutely love going down to the Iowa Deer Classic, and of course, they spend lots of time with us. And in fact, my grandson Mason can probably tell you more about deer than some of these accomplished hunters think they know about it. So he's really into that. So, yep.
That's good. That's got to be such an encouraging feeling to see, you know, your grandkids and everything get that excited about it, because, you know, they could just not be into it, you know, and there's really nothing you can do about it at that point. But to see that they're following the same passions as you has got to be crazy.
Well, you know, these electronics have taken a lot of kids out of the outdoors these days.
Oh, yeah, it has.
You know, things you can do and that. But, you know, I mean, if you're shopping for outdoor gear, my gosh, we've got a lot of different things. We've got a bow tryout area. We've got several of the leading manufacturers of archery equipment there that you can actually go try the latest and the greatest bows. And
yep, go see Larry McCoy with Elite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Elite's there, and several of the other national brands are there. The Iowa DNR's always got a booth there, and talking about what's going on within the Iowa DNR these days. I mentioned the turkey calling contest, so we're seeing a lot of turkey gear showing up. Of course, turkey season's just around the corner now.
Yep.
You know, this snow's melting, and I've heard of a few turkeys out strutting around in the fields, and so, yeah, turkey hunting's coming just around the corner. You know, one thing, 15 years ago, you never saw a box blind in the state of Iowa. Nobody ever used them, you know.
Right.
That was a Texas thing, right?
Right.
Oh, man, I tell you what, is there a selection of box blinds available anymore? And, of course, if you drive around the countryside anymore, you see them.
Yeah, you see them everywhere.
All over the place.
Up on stilts.
And so, you know, I mean, if you want to shop for a for an enclosed blind, this is a place to come. I must have 10 manufacturers in the show.
Well, I'm in the market for a hay bale blind, so I'll be snooping around a little bit.
Oh, I've got them. Yeah, I most definitely have them. And you know, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. But like I say, 15 years ago, there was no market in the state for that. But when you look at the late season and the way people have come on to planting food plots and attracting deer to their food plots, and then the other thing is the kids getting involved. You can get your kids out there in one of those enclosed blinds where they can get away with a little movement and maybe bring a few things to keep them occupied. And it isn't very long, a deer shows up. And I mean, you're going to see some deer harvested by some kids that are just going to amaze you at this show.
Yep. Amaze you, make you feel sick, make you get motivated.
Well, yeah, a little of that too. But like I say, you know, I mean,
it's all good
those
fun.
Big ones aren't behind every tree by any means, you know. And
tell somebody that from the East Coast
or someone not from Iowa.
Yeah. But, you know, some of these states, I mean, you have to appreciate what the DNR has done and what has evolved in the state of Iowa with the fact that we don't gun hunt during the rut.
That's my, I've always preached that.
Huge difference. in the quality of deer that we have available to us.
Yeah.
When you look at what's gone in Missouri and in states like Pennsylvania,
Illinois,
I mean, a small 8-point buck is a huge deer in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've had to come up now with some point restrictions and things like that. And I think it's improved somewhat, but that's the way it always was in those states. And then the biggest factor is because they're allowing gun hunting during the rut season.
Yep.
And that's something that we need to be aware of and recognize that. And of course, archery's a tremendous way to harvest a deer anymore. So.
For sure. Well, Steve, I'm from Illinois. You know, our studio is in Illinois. And, you know, Eric's from Iowa, so we always have this conversation. Steve's also from Illinois, so we always gang up on Eric a little bit. But I've always said that I wish Illinois would do their firearm season just like Iowa. I wish we'd do everything like Iowa does as far as when our seasons lay, because, you know, I feel Illinois and Iowa both have a great quality of deer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably there's an argument there. That's what we always joke around and argue about. But I think Illinois could become even better if we modeled our seasons after Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would agree with that.
I recommend it. Oh, I would agree with it wholeheartedly. You know, like I say, it's those deer are more vulnerable during the rut, and then that whole mentality that's out there, and that's changed a lot now. You know, one thing about it with the number of doe tags you can get now, mm-hmm. you know, there's really not a reason to shoot a smaller, inferior buck. You know, if you want venison to eat, you shoot a doe.
Yeah.
And and you can get, you know, if you're willing to travel around the state, I know there's still doe tags that aren't utilized in some of these counties and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, you know, as more and more people realize that you let that deer walk, even another year makes a huge difference. But mm-hmm. now I hear people starting to talk about shooting, you know, 6.5-year-old deer as opposed to what we used to, you know, used to be a shot. I mean, like I say, I've been hunting for 50 years. I can remember when a little basket rack 6-point was something to be had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a year and a half old deer were being harvested. And so now I see more and more people not shooting them. So I think that's pretty cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an overall education and growth as a hunting community, I think, is what that leads to, you know, maybe, you know, if you're happy with whatever deer you shoot, that's great. But, you know, the overall quality of animal is going to go up with the more into harvesting a mature animal, because that's really the main goal is, no matter whether it's a 120-inch 5-year-old or a 180-inch 5-year-old, you know, it's still a mature deer.
And it grows a better deer herd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Yeah, well, that's changed dramatically now in the last few years. And that's led to we now have an exceptional lot of quality deer, and we've got a pretty darn good quantity of deer, too. So.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yep. Well, is there anything we haven't covered about the show that our listeners should know about before they go, or maybe if they can't make it this year, before they plan next year?
Sure, it's always right around the first weekend in March. You know, calendar creep works on it. Next year it'll be March 1st through the 3rd, and then it'll actually get into February, and then it'll shoot back in the next couple years later into March. But it's always in that time frame. You know, we've kind of locked in those dates, and you mentioned some of those other big shows around the country that, quite frankly, you kind of got to keep on to your dates. On that, and so we're real happy to have the dates that we've got for the Iowa Deer Classic,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, go to iowadeerclassic.com. That's where all the info is. You'll find my phone number in there. I love to talk to people that want to talk about the Iowa Deer Classic, got questions or anything. They can sure call me. Like I say, I've got an action-packed 4 or 5 days coming in front of me here, and I've been through it enough to know that before I know it, we'll be packing up and heading down and going on to the next sports show. So, there are just so many things for people to come and see and do, and if you're interested, and it doesn't have to just be whitetail hunting. I've got outfitters from Alaska, New Zealand, almost all of the Canadian provinces. I've got a whole lot of black bear outfitters that are available at this. We've got Western states. I've got New Mexico. I've got Utah. Got Montana. We've got Wyoming, Colorado. Several Colorado outfitters there. So yeah, you can enjoy things all around the country as a part of this show, and just walking up the aisles and seeing all the things that are available is really cool. As well as, like I say, all the different kinds of gear. There's some really good deals. Shields always has great deals at their booth, as well as some of our other exhibitors. You know, nothing like a show special to get you on and and buy a Deer Classic t-shirt so you can show your friends all year long that you were at the Iowa Deer Classic and bring them along. So
I hope to stop and get a couple of them.
Yeah, I might end up buying a hay bale blind at the show. Those show deals are going to reel me right in and get me in trouble.
Yep.
But that, you know, well, that's the fun of it, you know. But we really do. We love the show. Oh, yeah. We have a blast every year. The show itself is such a good time. Being able to podcast there is a bonus. And then the camaraderie of just the entire weekend is just such a blast. We talk about it all year long. It's our favorite show.
We look forward to it every year.
Yep. So we appreciate you do and putting the hard work in to make it such a great show. So, and I'll also have
Well, thank you very much. Glad to have you involved as well.
Well, yeah, I'll have the website linked in the description of this episode. I think we covered it pretty good. I appreciate your time, man.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you guys, and I'll see you Saturday.
Yep. So, yep. Stick around on the phone real quick. I'm going to go ahead and close her out here. Guys, check out the Iowa Classic this weekend, first weekend in March, if you're in podcast land listening, of course. And check it out. If you can't make it this year, hit it next year. Go shoot your bow. We love you.